So we have 4 weeks left to go in the book of Song of Songs, and in reverse order, the next four talks are all going to be topical. We're deep diving into the text of Song of Songs in our adult growth groups, and in reverse order, the last four topics that we're going to look at that emerge out of Song of Songs that we wanted to deal with under the umbrella of love. Love is safe, love is personal, love is mutual, and tonight love is faithful. Let's pray and just ask God to quiet our hearts, clear our minds, and prepare ourselves for his word. So let's pray together. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that you have given us lives in which we have the capacity and opportunity to love others. We pray that tonight you would help us to think about who we are as people, to understand faithfulness, to understand Jesus, and to understand who you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Early on in my relationship with Nikki, I was unfaithful. We were going out to see the whales off Manly Head about this time of year, and we'd made arrangements to go. And I gave her my word that I would be there. And at the very time I was meant to be at her house, I didn't turn up. I didn't show up, and she ended up ringing me and said, "Where are you?" And I said, "At home." And she said, "Are you coming?" And I said, "Where to?" And she said, "Talk later." And then I remembered where I was meant to be, where I'd promised I would be, and where I wasn't. And right then, I reneged on a promise. I was not steadfast or dependable, and I had not kept my word. I was unfaithful. I was suddenly a person who Nikki could no longer rely on, whose loyalty she could no longer depend on, and whose word and promise she could no longer unreservedly trust. Now, you may have guessed that things turned out okay, but on that day, I learned a really good lesson, and it is that faithfulness matters. And that's what I want you to go home with today. In all of your relationships, faithfulness matters. Straight up, I hope you can see that the way that I'm using the language of faithfulness is very different to what you might expect. And I did see some people, as I started my sermon tonight, sort of sitting there with their mouths open going, "What the heck?" But faithfulness is so much bigger than the way that our culture understands it. When we often talk about faithfulness in relationships, what we often mean, or within our culture, the way people use that language, is basically to say that I've not cheated on the person I am dating or married to. That's how we sort of define faithfulness in a very sort of simplistic and binary manner. But as one of my family members said to me this week, as we were just unpacking this and talking about that, is that if that's how we view faithfulness, then that is a very dodgy low bar. And he was exactly right. But what God means by being faithful is so much bigger than just not having sexual relations with someone else who you're not married to. It's so much more beautiful than that. So tonight I want us to take a step back and broaden the lens on faithfulness and to see this as something that has connection to your thoughts, something that has a connection to your hopes and dreams, your words, your actions. Something that has a deep connection to the way you love the people around you, your family, your friends, and if you're married, your spouse. For faithfulness is this, it's a posture of the heart that says, I do what I say and I honour my word in my thoughts and actions for the good of others. That's faithfulness. It's a posture of the heart that says, I do what I say and I honour my word in my thoughts and in my actions for the good of others. Now let me start tonight by actually demonstrating this from God himself. For it is God who is described in the scriptures ultimately as the faithful one, our faithful God. And it is from him that we understand faithfulness. He is our model for faithfulness. He is our guide for faithfulness. So let's begin with God himself. And indeed, we could go to a myriad of places throughout the entire Bible to see God's faithfulness. Now, he's described as faithful in places like Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, that says, Moses speaking to his people, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations." In staff meeting this week, I opened up Psalm 89 with the team and read from verse 1. "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, 'I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. And the heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the Holy One.'" And onward goes the psalm for many verses that describe the faithfulness of God as he keeps his promises. Two things that sort of flow out of this for us. The first one is, do you notice there in Psalm 89 as I was reading it, that faithfulness and love actually are of equal merit, almost synonymous in that sense, in the first couple of verses of Psalm 89. We often talk wonderfully about the love of God, but here the psalmist says, don't ignore the faithfulness of God. Sure, follow the love of God and the way that he loves people, but also look at the faithfulness of God and see that. See the way that he operates in relationships. He does what he says, and that's the second thing I want you to see here, that faithfulness is intimately connected with doing what you say. Here it's related to God's covenant promise to continue David's throne through all generations, and that's exactly what God has done and what the rest of the psalm celebrates. Now, we could wind our way through much of the Old Testament and into the New Testament, and you'll see time and time again what these verses are saying. It is that God's faithfulness is something to be treasured, and it is seen in the way that he remains steadfast to his word and promise. He's not fickle, he's steadfast. He's not forgetful, he's a promise keeper. He does not give up, he endures forever. And when God speaks, what he says actually happens. He's the never-changing God who does his word. And so one theologian, Arthur Pink, described God like this. He said, he never forgets, he never fails, he never falters, he never forfeits his word. To every declaration of promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. Every engagement of covenant, he will make good. And so it's no wonder the church has praised God, singing, "Great is thy faithfulness," for generation after generation. And friends, this is all part of God's glory, and we can adore God and just see him and adore him and give thanks for this. But the beauty of his faithfulness is that it actually benefits the church. It benefits Christian people. It benefits humanity. And so in Psalm 52 we read, "I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God, for I trust in God's faithful love forever and ever." You see, God does his word for our good, and that is faithfulness. And you know, it's this same faithfulness that you are called to in all your relationships, not just in marriage, but with family and friends, with co-workers and neighbours. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore follow his example." And here we have God being faithful. And so the call is, let us be faithful people who adhere to our word. Now, I hope you might be feeling some of the weight of that, because that's pretty hard, to always do what you say and say what you're going to do. And so here's the thing, God knows how hard that is for you. And so he's given his spirit to you to actually drive faithfulness in and from inside you, from your heart. At Galatians chapter 5, we read of the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is, well, look with me, Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, the Spirit of God longs to drive in you personal dependability. The Spirit of God is driving in you a fastness to your word and to those you love. The Spirit of God drives in you that you might be a person of firmness, a person of steadiness, a person of safety for others, a person of certainty. For faithful people are true to their word, their promises, their beliefs, their commitments. Indeed, faithful people, their whole lives are shaped by their word and their promises, their belief, their commitments. Every action of a faithful person flows from and is connected to their word, their promise, their commitments, and their beliefs. But faithfulness is not just marked by what you see. You don't just see someone doing what they say and go, oh, that person is faithful. It's an internal disposition that entirely focuses on absolute commitment to and the good of its object, of other people. And that means that faithfulness encompasses every thought, every word, every promise, every belief, every decision. And you might ask, how does one cultivate this very high bar of faithfulness? Well, you do it by looking to Jesus, who will empower you by his Spirit and inspire you by his example. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is faithfulness. And as you do so, in the power of the Spirit, flee the temptation to faithlessness and speak the truth to yourself and to others, even when it's hard. You do this by working at being a person who is dependable, who is trustworthy, who is honest, who can be counted on in good times and bad. Indeed, faithful spouses, friends, relatives, co-workers, they don't abandon you at the first sign of trouble or when you need help. Rather, they stick with you and are willing to sacrifice their own good for the purpose of remaining true to their word. And I take it that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cries out to his heavenly Father, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." He's saying, this is looking really hard, but I've promised and we've agreed, and I'm going to the cross because I'm faithful to my word. That's faithfulness. And you know, a faithful person produces comfort and calm in every relationship they're in, because doubt about the relationship and concern about the relationship, worry about the relationship, actually just fades away. There's no doubt when you are faithful that the person you're relating with is for you. Now, can I say, we are creeping up on Song of Songs and marriage, but I want to say that this has application over all of your life. And so as I was preparing, I actually wrote this heading in my notes. I wrote down, what might a faithful friend look like? And I thought to myself, yeah, this would be a really helpful thing to talk about in this talk, what a faithful friend looks like. And so you might want to get ready to take notes, but you might also note this, that I did work out after I wrote that heading that that's like a 4-week sermon series to answer that question. And so instead of a 4-week sermon series, I'm just going to give you 4 little tips that might be helpful for you as you think about the friendships that you're in. And I think these 4 things, they apply to friendships, but they apply equally to family, they apply equally to marriage and other places. But let's just think of it in terms of friendships and the people we're in relationship with. Here is what it looks like to be the sort of friend who's true to their word, their promises, their beliefs, and their commitments. Number one, you'll be the sort of person who tells the truth even when it's hard to say or hard to hear. A truth teller. Number 2, you'll turn up when you say you will and do what you say you're going to do. Number 3, you'll only share news that is yours or news that you have permission to share. Number 4, you'll show up when things are good and you'll show up when things are bad, and you'll show up in everything in between. I reckon your word publicly displays your character and heart. What you do with your word puts on public display your character and your heart. And so how you treat your word reveals your heart. As Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, there's so many things we sort of could discuss out of here, and I've invited Caitlin to come and share some things with us in a couple of minutes' time, and she's going to pick up on some of this as well. But I want to encourage you, in your growth group this week, you might want to launch into a discussion together. What does a faithful friend look like? What else might the Bible teach us about what faithful friendship looks like? But we need to get to Song of Songs at some point, and I want to launch from this reality that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of into the song, where there is a whole set of poems throughout which are littered these yearnings and marks and words of faithfulness. Indeed, as you've been reading through Song of Songs, I hope that you've seen that it's almost as if the whole song is announcing to us time and again that the best of marriages will be marked by a constant, faithful love. I hope that as you've read it through in your growth group, you've seen that the lovers are completely committed to each other in mind and word and deed and body. They have eyes for no one else. And so in chapter 2, verse 16, my beloved is mine and I am his. In chapter 6, verse 3, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. But then all the way through the book, there are all these references to the solidity and stability of their relationship despite the circumstances. And they have no question about the faithful commitment they have to each other, and they declare their faithfulness to each other time and again, this constancy and security that provides each other with safety and hope and no doubt. And so in chapter 4, verse 6, he's speaking of all the different times of day and night and other bits and pieces. He says, until the day breaks, the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. You are mine and mine alone. There is no one else. In chapter 5 that we had read, she's challenged about whether this guy is really good for her, and she longs to be with him, and he comes in and then strangely disappears, and she searches for him, and it says that she's beaten and then retreats to her house again, and the other daughters of Jerusalem sort of saying to her, what is it about this guy that you are so obsessed with? What is it about this guy that you just want him all the time? And at the end of chapter 5, she says, this is my beloved. This is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem. And then the start of chapter 6, where has your beloved gone? Most beautiful of women, which way did your beloved turn that we may look for him with you? And she calmly says, my beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to browse in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He browses among the lilies. When he's away from me, when he's doing the things that he's going to do and he's doing his work out in the fields and gardens as he does, it's okay. I'm quite calm about that because he's faithful to me. I am his and he is mine. And I can be quite calm about us being in different places, doing different things at different times. And so the song peaks with this marvelous expression of faithfulness in chapter 7, verse 10. I belong to my beloved. And his desire is for me. There's no one else in the frame of vision. The one he has promised himself to is the only one. The one he has given his word to is his alone. And her confidence in him is rock solid. There's an unyielding firmness and steadiness and safety and certainty in their union, which cannot and will not be betrayed. For he never forgets. He never fails. He never falters. He never forfeits his word. And neither does she. And so here is the glory of marital love that is faithful. It is a commitment of the heart that is true to your word. And it manifests in thoughts and actions that are dependable, steadfast, honest. It's a commitment that produces an environment where trust blossoms, where security is sure, and where there's no doubt that the other wants your good and pursues your good and will sacrifice for your good. It's a commitment to truly live out the promise to have and hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish as long as we both shall live. And that's almost the end of the wedding vows. And I get to say the privilege of standing here with some people. And there's a couple staring into each other's eyes, saying these words to each other, and I'm whispering away. And they're saying the words out loud, and it's super fun. But I tell you, I get to the very end of this whole section of the vows, and I get goosebumps almost every time on the last line, where they say, "This is my solemn vow and promise." That's so big. As a married couple stands here, this I've just said, to have and to hold you through all the things of life, this is my solemn vow and promise. That's faithfulness. And the song celebrates this faithful human love, and so it stands in stark contrast to our culture that often pitches faithfulness against freedom. Too often, true human freedom is said to be found in pursuing your heart or allowing your heart to pursue what it wants rather than being restricted by honouring your word. And so I was at a wedding recently, and I felt like the vows at this wedding were a bit more like, you know, I will love you until my love expires, rather than until our life expires. But here's the truth. True freedom is found in lifelong faithfulness, because lifelong faithfulness fuels security and honour and thankfulness. And in relationships marked by faithfulness, you can be you. And you do not need to be afraid. You don't need to hide. You don't need to pretend to be more than you are. You don't need to be anything more than who you are, because you're loved, no matter what. Your mind doesn't drift to other options. Your mind drifts to the joy of your husband or wife. It's not easy, and it takes work. And sometimes it is a daily and ongoing choice. But it's beautiful. It's empowered by God. It honours God. And it benefits everyone. I got to see Coldplay last night. As I know many of you have seen Coldplay over the last few days, and others who didn't missed out, I apologise. One of their new songs is called All My Love. And it actually is an ode to faithfulness. Even people in the world look at faithfulness and go, that's what we ought to be doing. Just listen to these words. I'm not going to sing it. Listen to these words. They say, "We've been through low, been through sunshine, been through snow, all the colours of the weather. We've been through high, every corner of the sky, and still we're holding on together. You got all my love. Whether it rains or pours, I'm all yours. You've got all my love. Whether it rains, it remains. You've got all my love until I die. Let me hold you if you cry. Be my 1, 2, 3 forever." That's faithfulness. Now, you know, Song of Songs contains these marvellous descriptions of young, youthful bodies. You can look around and see who you can pick. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep. Your navel is like a rounded goblet. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your arms are like rods of gold. Your legs are like pillars of marble. And let me tell you, I looked at myself in the mirror the other day, and gravity and the winds of time are not kind to 50-year-old bodies. There will come a moment for each of you where your navel will look more like a sinkhole, and your neck will look more like a discarded snake skin. And your arms will look more like the banana in the fruit bowl that's not been eaten for 3 weeks. But faithful love says, "I don't care." Faithful love says, "I don't care. Because I gave you my word. And you are mine. And I am yours." And so it honours the person and honours God and keeps in step with the Spirit. Our relationships characterised by faithfulness provide a foundation for human flourishing. And those who are married, I want to ask you, does this describe your marriage? For those who aspire one day to be married, is this the way you're thinking about marriage? So let me give you some homework. I've got a piece of homework, two challenging words, and then I'm going to invite Kate to come up and share a reflection with us. Homework. If you're dating someone, or if you're married to someone, I want you this week to have an honest chat about faithfulness in your marriage or relationship. Sit down with a cup of tea, a red wine, doesn't matter what it is, and have an honest chat about faithfulness in your relationship. If you're neither married nor dating someone, find a friend. Sit down with a friend and say, how do you think about faithfulness in our friendship and in relationships as a whole? Now, there's your homework. You can write in the back of your diary and get your mum to sign it. That'd be helpful. Two challenging words. Number one, can I say, when you're ready to faithfully love like this, then I think you're ready to consider getting married. In fact, I would say that if you are someone who does not keep your word, you probably shouldn't even be dating someone. Don't inflict yourself upon someone else who you like. Just don't do it. Number two, can I say, if your marriage is not characterized by this sort of faithful love, or if the person you're dating and that relationship is not characterized by this sort of faithful love, if you're only dating, let me encourage you to break up. If you're married, and your marriage is perhaps characterized by a guarded lack of trust, or a guarded lack of honesty or intimacy, I want to encourage you that you probably don't need to do the homework, because that may not end well, but what you do need to do is get some help. And the biggest enemy of faithfulness is lies and deceit. So if you're hiding something from someone you're dating or married to, that's probably a sign that there is significant work that needs to be done.